my daughter goes, Dada, that's you. She finally got it. Tell the caricature, well done.
Does she know about Kay Wen?
She does. No, actually, she hasn't. Well, I mean, she hasn't met you in person.
She sees me on YouTube.
She just knows she had to spend a week with my mom because of your wedding. So,
wow.
That's about it.
That's Hello. About it. And welcome to Big Ben and Kay Wen on nofilter.net. YouTube, Caffeine TV. Each week, we broadcast live episodes. If you're more of an audio podcast person, we got you covered. Download, listen, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. Tonight, we're doing a little West Coast swing. We're talking about Anthony Edwards, Bo Nix, the NFC West, the Mavs-Clippers series. Is it over? I'm Kay Wen. He's Big Ben, and he might draft Bronny James, so LeBron James has to come on our pod every week.
Well, no, I think hasn't Golden State just said outright that's our strategy next year?
Golden State's number one fan. I haven't heard this.
Listen, where do you hear this? How much would a ticket at the Chase Bank Arena be if you had LeBron and Steph playing on the same team?
It would cost
in one of the highest income per capita cities in the entire country. Albeit,
you'll probably have to pay with like Tesla or Apple stock just to get a ticket.
We'll take 10 ISOs and you're in the door. Bronny becomes an enigma and an interesting. There's going to be so much Bronny talk leading up to the draft.
So much.
And rightfully so, because a lot of people have said this draft isn't very. There's a lot of international prospects. Zach Edey. I mean, again, another two-time unanimous player of the year that may not go in the top 10.
Yeah. May not go in the first round. Depends on
Bronny may go before Zach Edey. Like, that's how crazy this is.
Yeah.
But with the early exit, I mean, LeBron's got to be thinking relocation, right?
He's got to be considering it. Like, he holds all of the power. He's going to opt out of his contract just so that he can force the issue to see what the Lakers are going to do. I'm not going to say he's going to force them to draft Bronny, but he's going to wait around and see what else is out there. I was thinking about this before we got on this podcast. With LeBron James, there was a gentleman sweep in round one with the Lakers. Nuggets. Without him, they're battling Memphis, or who else is out there? Portland, or maybe a play-in game situation? They've got to sign him, so maybe they do draft Bronny. They've got a first round and a second round.
Well, I'm sure there's got to be someone in the front office looking at, like, yo, is Anthony Davis enough of an attraction? Because what's your alternative, right? If you don't draft Bronny and retain LeBron, what's your alternative?
What's your plan B?
They don't have a plan B. And if it's centered around Anthony Davis carrying that team, injury questions, and I don't know if there's I don't have the free agents in front of me. LA is a good draw. But, I mean, you'd probably have to add a couple pieces.
But there's not the big-name free agents, right? You've got Harden. You've got, like, Drew Holiday. You've got, like, Malik Monk. I think Buddy Hield. Like, the bona fide one to year two – they're all taken, like Embiid, Luka, Tatum. And all of a sudden, if LeBron's gone, AD's your one, is D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves your two or three?
Yeah, and you're playing in the West. Like, that formula might work in the East. It could. It could get you a probably 5-6 seed. You're in a play-in game scenario, if that, in the West.
At best.
At best. So let me ask you this. I want to go back to LeBron because as I play his career through my head, I feel like it's a choose your own adventure and he gets to choose every time. And if I'm thinking, all right, what's my next step? Where do I want to go? In my head, I'm like, I'm going to go play with Steph. If I can make that happen, which he can.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, as we've kind of seen Clay's going to be gone. There's some free money up there. And I mean, think if you're the owners, who's the owner of the
Jacob Lakeup.
I mean, I'm taking LeBron. I'm calling LeBron every day until I close him. I mean, in reality.
That TV show Shark Tank where the entrepreneur comes on and pitches his business idea to four sharks? It's the reverse for LeBron James. Like, he's sitting in that chair and GMs, owners, and agents are pitching to him why they should come. And I guarantee they're pitching to him already. I know there's tampering and all of that, but there's going to be some conversations to be had. Will he go back to Cleveland? Could he go back to Miami? Will he go to New York, the Big Apple?
Listen, he's got an LA home, LA presence right now. Listen, if you're Golden State, you give him the keys to the jet, whatever he needs, feel comfortable. Bron, it's not too far for Bronny, family. You're on the West Coast. I guess it will be telling if he sneaks a peek at going back to Cleveland or Miami. But I think he likes his presence here on the West Coast in LA.
I agree. It's the Hollywood media capital of the world. And what is LeBron going to do?
He's got Bronny. He's got Bron Studios. Exactly. He's got Bron Studios. He's got a lot more connections. The West Coast is more his style, in my opinion. I mean, he's not a big golfer, right? Or else Miami might be. I like the idea, and it's already been referenced in like Golden State Warrior land that LeBron is coming.
Wow, I love it. All right, and continue on the West Coast swing. I want to start it off with Anthony Edwards.
Wait. Are we adopting Minnesota now in the West Coast?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. We've dipped into Houston before, so I think that's equal distance.
The new face of the NBA, Anthony Edwards. Here's my question to you, Big Ben. Is he a top 10 player?
He's got cachet right now. You're familiar with the term cachet. How can you not talk about him as a top 10 player right now? There's no way you can. You reference a gentleman sweep. And I mean, you look around that team, it's Karl Anthony Towns only got him so far. Rudy Gobert's not 1A or 1B even on the offensive end. So yeah, he's a top 10 player. I mean, I feel like the next era of players, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, and then all of a sudden Anthony Edwards has kind of meandered into that conversation, either smushed between those two, right below Doncic and above Trae Young, or potentially on par with Doncic right now.
Yeah. I was going through the list in no order. You got Jokic, Embiid, Tatum, LeBron, KD, Steph, Shay, Giannis. I think that's nine right there. He's top 10. And the way that Embiid is playing, as Embiid's going to get knocked out of the playoffs, Giannis isn't even playing. Anthony Edwards, by the end of this playoff, here's my hot take, is a top five player going into next year. And the face of the NBA is going to be between Anthony Edwards and Wimby for the next 5 to 10 years. Is there someone else you would rather draft than Anthony?
Here's where I think you're wrong. So this is this year. Now, we all know if the NBA has enough tape on you and you're not that great, they'll figure out a way to exploit you, right? Cool. Whatever way that may be. He's got cachet now. Now, does he sustain it next year? That's the question. Like, and I think you pick that up the first 10 to 12 games if – you know, I guess, was it flash in the pan or is he as good as we've seen? There's something to be said about, you know, when everything's going right, it seems like everything's going right.
But when people are gunning for you, which they are now and they will next year, and there's a scouting report, bigger scouting report, how are you going to adapt? But yeah, I'm using exactly what he did against the Suns, who play very little defense.
against the Suns.
And his career, he's rebounding. He's making assists. He's making other players better. He did some of that in the regular season. He's doing a lot more in the postseason.
Yeah, he's got, I don't know.
And he's going to play for Team USA this summer. Look out, LeBron and KD. There's a new general. Remember when Jordan played? Wow, this is bold. Remember when Jordan was on the Dream Team with Magic, Bird, and like Ewing, and then all of a sudden Jordan rose to the top and then parlayed his career next? That is Anthony Edwards. Second hot take, Anthony Edwards ends up with more rings than Steph. I'm all
whoa.
In.
It's not like you're going to say gold medals. Like, no. Whoa. More in Minnesota.
I didn't say where he's going to get them.
Oh, gosh. I love that take. That's a good take.
Thank
God,
you.
You love his cachet.
I do.
You're all over his
he's
cachet.
Got the Riz, or Riz, as the young kids yes. would say.
Yeah, he's got the Riz, the charisma. Yeah, I got that.
All right, you want to talk Mavs, Clippers now? I'm so curious to see which side of the fence you're on here.
So here's the thing. Kawhi, I think, I don't know if I got this right, but I believe the Clips have won the games that Kawhi has actually not played in effectively.
You're correct.
I'm correct in that.
Yeah.
Here's the trouble I think the Clips are having in the playoffs. There's only one basketball, and they're trying to figure out who's hot on any given night.
Small clarification. The Mavs have won 3. The Clippers have won 2. The last game that the Mavs won, Kawhi didn't play.
Right. The Kawhi did not play.
Yeah, the last game, yeah.
Okay. I think they won one game because they sat out. Nonetheless, here's what I think the dilemma is with the Clips. When you get in the playoffs, like, you're trying to find that hot hand. And the Clips have a lot of players that can shoot. And more so, I guess, on the perimeter, Paul George, James Harden. But we were trying to figure out, then how do you get Kawhi into the game? You know, because what I see with Kawhi is if he's going well on the offensive end, he'll go well on the defensive end. It's kind of parallels itself. The Mavs, on the other hand, you know who's shooting.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know who's shooting. And even when the Mavs lost that, I think it was game 4. Am I right there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it was 2-2 going into game 5, yeah.
Yeah, and even Doncic came out. He's like, I didn't step it up. But he scored 29 points that game. Mm-hmm. Kyrie had like 35. So you know who's getting the ball there. And it almost plays better for the Mavs than trying to appease too many players on the Clips. Like, it's too little, too late. I don't know. Mavs have momentum off, obviously. But I
tomorrow night, Friday night, game 6.
I don't know.
In Dallas, who do you got?
Gosh, I would love to see Ballmer courtside and Mark Cuban courtside sitting next to each other. That's all. That's really what I want. Because this is a business. Like, at this point, if the Mavs win, Cuban was betting kind of on this downturn, not necessarily of his team, but of the NBA and the overall opportunity financially. But Ballmer's just building a $2 billion arena not far, you know, in Los Angeles. A team that exits in the first round with 4 all-stars, you know, that's not going to draw many season ticket holders, right? So I would love to see, there's nothing better than, what's the 2 best birds in sports, K1?
Game 7.
I want the Clips. I want to see it to go to game 7.
But you brought up a good point. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. When all of a sudden your option 2A and 2B, like Paul George and James Harden were all year, because Kawhi was the lead guy. And then when he's out, you got to change your game. And then when he's in, you got to adjust it. And I just don't think they will be able to show up in a big time game, big time situation, a big time way. They don't call him Playoff P for nothing. We don't have a nickname for James, but we know how he plays when the game's on the line later in the year. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in the Clippers. I think the Mavs are going to continue to do what they do. Luka, Kyrie. Let's do this dance. Luka, Kyrie. And if you come out and we get to the lane, lob city, lob city. That's all they do. ISO ball, lob city, 3-pointers. It's simple. It's easy. And that's what the Mavs are going to give a lot of the Clippers in game 6.
You go back to kind of on this take of the Clippers too. You go back to when they had Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. They almost play similar to the Mavs right now in a sense. But I want to see game 7 just to see, because there is a lot riding on it. Like, do you blow it up if you're the Clips at the end of the season? And if you do, like, what is, you like, with the new arena, like, you have to figure something out. If you're the Mavs, you're playing with house money a little bit this year. But yet Kyrie is playing phenomenally. Doncic is Doncic. Like, he's going to be one of the top 5 players in the NBA, bar none, the next 5 years.
And the Mavs have gotten bigger and more athletic. The one knock on Luka and Kyrie is they don't play defense. But what you're seeing is a lot of effort on the defensive end, which you don't see that in some of the other NBA stars out there. And even though they're giving effort and maybe not be the best wing or perimeter player to lock someone down, they've got two big guys in the key that can prevent mistakes or help take care of business if there is a mistake.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Ballmer in the locker room. If it's an early exit by the Clips, where you got Paul George, you got Westbrook, you got Harden, and you got Kawhi all pointing at each other as to why they had a first-round exit. Because it literally is that. I think there's too many players on that team for the ball to go around. There's not one player that's prominent enough where, I don't know, Paul George hit that fadeaway. That's nice, but game seven. Let's get to game seven.
Here's what they're going to do. They're going to lose game six going into the Intuit Dome next year. Harden's a free agent. You did great, but we need something else. We need Damian Lillard. Lillard will be in Cancun here in a minute, and him and Giannis aren't eye to eye. Doc is gone. Milwaukee's going to have to blow it up. Dame to the Clippers.
God, wasn't Dame's infamous? No, that was an OKC. Dame always cleared the Clips.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't get along with Paul George. So maybe that trade. I'll recant that trade.
All right. Let's go to the NFL draft and the quarterbacks because I have a theory for you.
Let's hear
it. You wanted to talk Bo Nix?
I do. So the Broncos have been trying to fill their starting quarterback position ever since Peyton left in 2015. They can't find QB1. And so I want to play a little game. I'm going to name some quarterbacks. You're going to tell me, did they start for Denver or did they not? Are you ready?
Yes.
Trevor Siemian.
Yes.
2015, started 24 games. Chase Daniel.
No.
Ooh, he did not. Chad Henne.
No.
Wow, you're good. Paxton Lynch.
Yes.
2016 from Memphis, started 4 out of 5 games. Joe Flacco.
He did. Flacco did.
Traded in 2019, started 9 games before he was on IR.
I feel like
Brandon Allen.
Yes. Brandon Allen.
After Flacco, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he had like a couple spot starts.
No, he did not. I tricked you on that. Brett Rippin.
Yes, Brett. Yeah, yes. Boise State. Yes, he did.
These are all the quarterbacks. So what I'm saying, this Bo Nix, QB1, drafted in the first round, they better hit on this because they haven't hit on anything else. And I'm starting to wonder about the talent evaluators in Denver. It was John Elway for a long time. Now it's George Patton. And you know what George has done since he's been on board in the last 3 years? He signed Nathaniel Hackett, grand opening, grand closing, hired, fired, traded for Russ, he gone. Sean Payton, I will still see how that works out. A lot is riding on this Bo Nix pick, and I'm going to wrap it up with this question. Is Bo Nix's comp more like Drew Brees, Alex Smith, or Baker Mayfield?
That's a good question. Before I answer, so is Bo Nix the messiah for the Broncos? No. To be honest, I don't think he's that much better than Russ.
The Broncos are going here out here saying they would have drafted him first after all.
Oh, of course you are.
Number one on their board.
Yes.
Here's the thing. He's Drew Brees.
The talent evaluators. Oh, the one that we really wanted, right? Well, it's all relative because you knew you weren't going to get the top 5 quarterback where you were. So this was the sexiest option. And Bo Nix, it's this quarterback class, it's simple. It's supply and demand. There was a ton of demand, and there was a decent amount of supply. Now, that supply gets a little nicer, looks a little bit better. His arm strength's a little more when you're sitting in that back half in the 13s, 14s, 15s. And this is exactly what happened to Denver. Bo Nix, I'll first throw this out there. The Seahawks signed Sam Howell this offseason. There are even people who say Sam Howell was better than every quarterback in this last draft except one, Caleb Williams. So everything is relative in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, were these guys good? Jaden Daniels, Heisman winner. That's some clout, right? Who else did you have go high? Penix. Like, that was a reach, right? That probably doesn't happen. That's an anomaly. All of a sudden, Penix gets drafted. Bo Nix gets drafted a little bit sooner. Like, everything happened just...
J.J. McCarthy goes up, and all of a sudden, I don't want to compare with... What's his name? Rattler from QB1 in Carolina.
By the way, why did Rattler go all the way in the fifth round? Like, wouldn't someone hedge a little bit? Take two rookie QBs, maybe? But I think... Bo Nix tops out at Baker Mayfield. Tops out. I watched Oregon play UW twice this past year. And see if you can follow this. Oregon had the most talent on the field, but UW was the most talented. Does that make sense? Like,
Oregon had a better roster up and down, but UW... had the better talent of the players.
Exactly. Mainly at wide receivers. So UW's wide receivers, I think all three starters went in the first three rounds. Like, that's pretty remarkable as it is. And then Bo Nix gets drafted, and then they draft his top wideout from Oregon. I'm going to forget his name, but Bo Nix is going to benefit from others going, you know, up higher in the draft, or I guess the demand being sought. But I don't know if Bo Nix is better than what you had last year in Russ. I don't.
I don't either. I think he'd be a good quarterback, but I think he's closer to a Baker Mayfield.
Brett Rippins is high, or Baker Mayfield is high. Brett Rippins is low. And right now he's like here. You know, like, you're not getting too far away from Brett Rippins with that draft pick. I don't know. I'm very interested to see what this quarterback class does. Yeah. Like, going back to the 83 class, this is the first time I think six quarterbacks have gone in the first round, first 15. Bo Nix was the last of them. And I think it was just a Hail Mary for, what are you going to sell your season ticket holders on if you're Denver? Who's your quarterback going into the season? Paxton Lynch? Hey, it's Bo Nix. You know, at least you have a storyline there.
So. They got, what's his name? What's his name from the Jets? Oh, yeah, it's Zach Wilson.
Oh, they did get Zach Wilson.
And Jared Stenna. So they've got three QBs. What do they say? When you got three QBs, you don't have
You got one. None. Bronco Nation is going to have a tough go of it, I think, these next 5 years. Carrying that contract.
Yeah.
And then also you look at the Chiefs are in your division. The Raiders are kind of coming up, and then the Chargers just got Harbaugh. I mean, Bronco Nation's big.
Yeah.
It's big. You got the Dakotas, like Montana claims them, gets into Idaho. I don't think you're going to see a lot of migratory action out of that Bronco Nation.
Bronco Nation is going to be at the bottom of the AFC West for a while.
Okay. What else we got?
You want to talk NFC West? I don't know why. Niners are number one.
Yeah, I know. When I was contemplating, you're like, what do you want to talk about? I was like, I want to talk NFC West. And I was like, maybe not. But I do want to bring this up because looking back at last season, the Rams made the playoffs. Puka Nacua has been great. Cooper Kupp was kind of injured. Stafford, you know, worked his magic. Aaron Donald's now retired. So
Kyron Williams.
Kyron Williams is back. Yes. Yeah, so that's kind of, the Ramses, after they won the Super Bowl, they've been this kind of odd team. You can't, unpredictable of sorts. Steve Keim ran the Cardinals organization into the ground.
Yeah.
It was a mess. It's been a mess. All feedback around the draft is that it was phenomenal for the Cardinals in terms of what they got going in and what they got coming out. And here's what's scary is, like, Kyler's going to be at full, he's going to be healthy finally. He's going to have some weapons. And then the Seahawks are, I think we're in this, Mike McDonald's a new coach, right? So you don't, and then you have the Niners. The Niners are just going to be the Niners. So my question to you is, are the Niners scared of anyone in the division right now?
I think the Niners are scared of the Rams because with McVay calling plays, if Cooper Kupp is healthy and Nacua and Stafford, they can put up some points. And big brother versus little brother, they know each other well. I'm also a little worried about the Seahawks just because of the unknown, right? I think you guys did a great job of drafting to your weaknesses, the O-line and the D-line. Those are rookies. There's a new system. There's a new OC. There's a new coach. But the core of the players are solid. I think the Seahawks are the biggest wild card in the league. Like, they could overachieve or they might struggle a little bit. So I think with that unknown and having to play in Seattle, I think the Niners are scared of the Seahawks. And with Kyler Murray healthy, we saw what he did when he was healthy. He got the Cardinals to the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, those last three games, Kyler looked good. He looked like the Kyler of old. It's going to be interesting how they open the playbook for him and what they allow him to do just based on that injury. And you're right, the Seahawks did address some things. I think for all intents and purposes, every team can run the ball pretty well across James Conner. The running backs Rams did it by committee before Williams. It's going to be interesting to see if the Seahawks can actually stop the run. I think that's what hurt them a lot last year, and I think that will be the difference. You know, can you win those closer games? Can you go 3-and-out? Can you get your defense off the field? I think that the NFC West is going to be another top 1 to 2 to 3. Yeah, in there in terms of NFL.
I think they're better than the AFC North. I'm going NFC West. We'll get two teams in the playoffs for sure, and there'll be a third team in the hunt that has a chance.
Whereas you always see kind of that conglomeration of Pittsburgh, Cincy, Baltimore always in it, and even Cleveland as of years past. That might be, that's probably your comp, right? Where you look at, everyone says Cleveland's a wild card. Steelers are the Steelers, kind of like maybe your Rams, if you would. And then Seattle's probably Cincinnati, if you're doing comps. Yeah. Ravens, Niners. I'm excited for football season. I want to see that rookie QB class and just...
Yeah. I can't wait. Football's the best. Like, we're talking about it here in the middle of the NBA playoffs and baseball in month two. Like, that's how good football is you can't get enough of it.
As much as I hate it, I'm like, it's just the storylines and like, because it's such a condensed, I mean, there's only 18 games, right? So it's everything is proverbially counts, you know, and you actually get to see the impact of each player in a game by game basis. Unlike baseball, unlike basketball, that's for sure.
It's year-round excitement. You've got the season, and then we're talking about free agents. Then we're talking about the draft. Yeah. Then we're talking about OTAs. And next thing you know, it's the end of summer, and it's preseason.
Here we go. Let's make the summer go pretty slow this year, though. You know, slow summer.
Well, we're going to be all out right in Rosenblatt for your 40th, so I haven't booked my ticket yet. I'm just going to get a caravan. I'm going to drive up to Seattle, knock on your door, pick you and Roy up. Theo, me, you, and you are going to Omaha. How much is Roy and Theo going to love those Omaha steaks day for lunch?
Oh, my gosh. Roy would he'd be, from the minute he stepped in any, car or whatever, he'd start panting, and then he wouldn't stop till we got home. There's like only four places he can sit in the summer in this whole house where he's not panting. All right. We love dogs. We love Roy. We love Theo. We also love our listeners.
Yes. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for following us. Download, listen, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. We're on social media at @BigBenKwin_ TikTok while it's still alive. Instagram, Threads, we're everywhere. I'm Kwin, he's Big Ben.
You think we're big in China?
We're huge in China. That's why they got to shut down TikTok.
Boom.
All right, have fun tonight.
Yeah, later.